That was a hot first scene. I really enjoyed that. I think she had passed out because, like, she was in the snow and it was cold and she was exhausted and, like, undernourished. And so he finds her, saves her, brings her to a cave, and she's, like, resting. And as she's resting, this guy is overcome with desire for her for reasons we will get into, and eats her out. And, as far as... And, like, he's an alien, too, so he, like, doesn't know her body parts. Can you imagine? You're like, let me just guess where to put my face.
I'm Courtney.
And I'm Meg.
And we're the hosts of the Spread Those Pages podcast, a romance lovers podcast where we like our books how we like our coffee. Hot.
So sit back, grab your vibrator, and spread those pages.
Hi, all you badass book bitches. It's another episode of Spread Those Pages. My name is Courtney, and this is my lovely... Wait, which side do we go? Over here, Meg Latour. We're co-hosts of this podcast. Have you missed us? It's been a little while, but hey, we've still been reading about some blue aliens with ice planet barbarians, and that's what we're going to be talking about today.
Yes. Hi, everyone. I am Meg. I'm super excited because it'll be, I think, our first sci-fi romance, so I'm excited to talk about it.
Ooh.
And I feel like a lot of people are talking about this series presently. I've heard about it from a few people. If you guys are watching us on YouTube, as you guys can see from the cover, there is a blue alien and a human woman. So allow that to, you know, tickle your fancy before we start.
Some people explain it kind of like Avatar, but Avatar smite. So
I'm super pumped. Welcome back. I hope everyone had a good new year. Courtney, shall we launch us right into the thing? Shall I read the description or should we do non-spoilery thoughts first?
No, let's do the description.
All right, guys, here we go. This is from Amazon. You'd think being abducted by aliens would be the worst thing that could happen to me, and you'd be wrong, because now the aliens are having ship trouble and they've left their cargo of human women, including me, on an ice planet. We're not equipped for life in this desolate winter wasteland since I'm the unofficial leader. I head out into the snow to look for help. I find help all right. A big blue horned alien introduces himself in a rather startling way. Vectal says that I'm his mate, his chosen female, and that the reason his chest is purring is because of my presence. He'll help me and my people survive, but this poses a new problem. If Vectal helps us survive, I'm not sure he's going to want to let me go. I have not read that until this very moment. So, wow. Okay. I like that a lot, to be honest.
Same. I haven't read it either until you read it for me, actually.
So I think I heard about this book from you, and then I interviewed Jennifer Armentrout for the iReaderly YouTube channel, and she mentioned this offline and was talking about this book. So I just didn't even think to read the description, but now that I'm reading it, I'm like, oh yeah, I know what some of this is alluding to. Well done.
Yeah, that was a great blurb. You know what you're going to get by reading that, and I appreciate that. No guessing.
So I suppose a few trigger warnings for anyone listening. There is interspecies sexual relationships, if you will. There is abduction, and there is mention of, I should probably read the trigger list from the author's website, but there was, starts with an R word, or, you know, something PE. Don't want to get in trouble by, you know, the algorithm gods. But I think there was also, it's the impregnation fantasy. So if that is not your thing, you know, great to see you guys. See you at the next episode.
Yeah. And we listened to it on audio as we do all of our books. And the narrators, you know, always got a comment about that. I enjoyed them. I really did enjoy the way that the leading lady is from Oklahoma, I believe. And so they gave her a little Southern twang that wasn't like, you know, marrying your brother twang. It was good. So I appreciated that they didn't make her super country bumpkin.
So these books are free if you have an Audible subscription, I believe. And so I think they're like 6 hours each or something like that. I will admit, I did listen to books 1 through 3, I think, at this point. They're very quick reads. Meanwhile, I'm also presently listening to House of Flame and Shadow by Sarah J. Maas. And that is like something like 40 hours of listening time. So it's a stark difference to like the 6 hours and the 40 hours. I'm still working on that one. But these are like super, super quick listens in my opinion.
Yeah, it's considered a novella series, but if it's 6 hours, it's like 60,000 words. I have seen these books in Barnes and Noble though. So I'm like, girl, these are spicy. And they have these cute covers like at Barnes. I don't believe it's the same cover that's online. I think it's a different cover for her paperback distribution, but it's like so spicy. And I've seen it next to some cute books and I'm like, ooh, I know what's in there.
Yeah. So if you guys are watching this on YouTube, we always do like a little image of the book cover in like the background or whatever. That one, I think, definitely portrays, you know, kind of what is happening in the book. He's like, you know, between her boobies. But if you look on Amazon and you click the paperback version, it's like an illustrated cover, which I think kind of, I like the kind of dynamic between the human and the alien there, but I don't think it, yeah, you're right, Courtney, it doesn't convey the steaminess quite as much.
I have this thing where like I go to Walmart and listen to audiobooks and I'm like, oh, this is the beginning of this book. I'm going to be totally fine. There's not going to be a sex scene like straight off the bat. Like it's going to be great. I mean, I make it to the back of the store. I make it to the back of the store and it's so spicy. I'm like low key blushing. I'm like, this is not what I expected whatsoever. I was not prepared.
I think the first steamy scene was when she met him, if I'm recalling correctly, which we'll get into in the spoilery section. So it wasn't like page one, chapter one, but it was pretty quick into it. It's a shorter book, so you also kind of have to. Okay, so let's jump into our non-spoilery thoughts, if you're up for it. Okay, guys, we're going to do that in 3, 2, 1. Okay, so for non-spoilery thoughts, I'm going to ditto Courtney. I really enjoyed the narrator. I had a lot of fun. I think if you go into this just ready to have a good time and you're not expecting like a long sci-fi romance, you're expecting kind of more like an erotic sci-fi sort of story, like a quick story, and you like, how high would I rate the steam level? Maybe an 8, maybe a 7, somewhere around there. So if you like the higher steam level, then I would say this is probably your thing.
I agree with you about the narrators. Even the guy who narrated for, is it Vectile?
Vectile.
Vectile.
Vectile. Vectile. Like reptile.
Mr. V. I thought that he did a great job. They kind of portray the alien creatures, the blue aliens, as kind of like natives in a way. They're like hunting, living in caves, like they build fires, they eat raw meat, and they're kind of like stuck on this planet. But anyway, the point was, is the male narrator did such a great job just really portraying like the language barrier that the two, the hero and the heroine, have. I felt like the pacing was really good. Like this book, guys, is not, it's not going to make you like intelligent. It's a really good palate cleanser type of book. Like if you've been reading a lot of fantasy where it's like, God, I've got to remember like 40 different names and they all start with R's and they've got 18 syllables and, you know, and maps and everything else. This is one of those books where it's like, oh yeah, I can read some smut and have a good time and laugh and smile. I would recommend it if you need a little palate cleanser.
Yeah. And coming from me, I'm not a sci-fi romance reader as far as like what I'd say hard sci-fi with like aliens, humans traveling to other planets and there being like multiple species. Cool. But like this for me is very new and I had a good time. So I would say, you know, go like if you're not typically a sci-fi romance reader, it might be your thing if you're cool with all the trigger warnings. But I would say non-spoilery thoughts. I thought the writing was fun. I thought the pacing was fun. I thought the characters were relatable. And honestly, I think what hooked me in wasn't the human perspective. It was Vectal's perspective. And like hearing how he perceived the humans and the quirkiness of like him being like observing, because their bodies are physically different, right? And so like observing the differences in the bodies and the way that it was phrased is kind of funny. And I think that's how I personally got into it.
I agree. I almost gave a spoiler, so.
Yes, I wanted to say that too, but goodness. Anything else for non-spoilery thoughts before we jump into spoilers?
No, I don't think so. I think I'm good.
Okay, guys, if you have not read this book yet, this is the time to tune out, bookmark it, take a screenshot, and we'll see you when you've read it. If you've read it, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Spoilers. Courtney, do you want to start us off?
I just want to say that when he first meets her, he is like, he goes down on her. And I was just like, that I was in Walmart and she meets this blue alien and then he gives her an orgasm, like from the meeting. Like she's like, oh my God, there's this blue alien between my legs. And then it's like, I don't know. I was just shocked. I was like, I cannot believe this just happened. I did not prepare myself for that scene.
That was a hot first scene. Honestly, like, so we'll get into, like, you know, what the hell happens in this book in a hot second. But I really enjoyed that where, like, I think she had passed out because, like, she was in the snow and it was cold and she was exhausted and, like, undernourished. And so he finds her, saves her, brings her to a cave, and she's, like, resting. And as she's resting, this guy is overcome with desire for her for reasons we will get into. And eats her out. And yeah, as far as, and like, he's an alien too. So he like, doesn't know her body parts. Can you imagine? You're like, let me just guess where to put my face.
He talks about the third nipple between her legs a few times. It is so funny. Me and my husband were driving down the road and somehow aliens came up and I was like, oh yeah, I just read a book about aliens. And he's like, well, what did you learn? I was like, that these blue men with horns and a tail thinks that a clit is a third nipple. And he was like, he's an astronomer. He is just shaking his head. He's like, I don't want to hear about this.
You guys have such different interests. It must be so hysterical to see like the crossover.
So yeah, if there's any astronomers listening, this might be your thing. But yeah, I thought the sex scenes were very well done. And in the beginning, they have kind of like a communication issue. In the audiobook, I really liked it where her name is,
I think it's Georgia.
Georgia. And
Georgie.
So
Georgie.
Yeah, he calls her Georgie. He's like, Georgie. The narrator just did such a good job to make that so cute. I was like, oh, he knows her name. I think that's the big spoilery thing that I wanted to talk about.
You're like, and episode is done. I've talked about what I needed to. The third nipple has been mentioned.
Exactly.
Okay. So I did take notes for this book. I did not take notes for books 2 or 3. So if we talk about those, I'm in trouble. Okay. So again, trigger warnings. Rape, pregnancy, termination, pregnancy kink, interspecies, sexual intimacy is what I wrote down. Okay. So Georgie is our main character. Vectal is the love interest. He's the alien dude. And then we have Liz, Kira, and Megan are 3 of the other captives. So the book starts out where they're already captured by these other types of aliens that they call what, the little blue men or the basketball head dudes. I forget. But they sound kind of funny and they sound like kind of like your traditional cheesy aliens from like cartoons. And they captured all these women that I think were all around the age of 22. So they're young women. And these aliens are pretty mean to the women. They starve them. Some of them are in like stasis pods or something like that. Some of them are raped if they misbehave. One of them, I forget her name off the top of my head, has like this earpiece that translates the languages. And she's like the go-between. And yeah, so the women are having a terrible time. And then as was described in the description, I guess like the cargo bay or whatever it's called is just deposited on this planet because there was some issue or malfunction. They're running out of fuel. I don't know. It's never specified, but the women are deposited on this like ice planet, hence the title. And yeah, they're like, well, fuck, we don't have proper clothes. They're all in like these little nightgowns and they're on like a super, super cold ice planet. And Georgie basically knocked out one of the guards and they're like, alas, our leader has come. You shall go find us some safety. And so she goes out into the wilderness. How am I doing so far, Courtney?
Nailed it.
Excellent. Yeah, so she puts the guards' clothes out and goes out and to try and find help, food, resources, I don't know, wood for fires, whatever. And I think she passes out and I think Vectal finds her, brings her to the cave. I'm trying to remember what that thing is called that the Kui, it's like this thing that's inside of them that we later learn, I guess we'll say spoilery section. It's like a worm thing, like a parasite that like is nice to you as the host and you guys both, I guess, gain whatever from it, but it chooses your mate. And so this guy has a Kui inside of him and it starts purring and he's like, you are my mate. I love you. Allow me to open your legs. And so he eats her out because his Kui is going nuts and it makes you have to mate. And if you don't mate over time, you go a little crazy.
This Kui thing also allows them to survive on this ice planet that has like toxic levels of methane or something that bodies can't basically, you can't survive for over like 7 days or whatever without one of these queues. It also knows when you find your mate so you can breed with them, but it also saves your life. And if you lose your queue, I believe it said that you don't survive it. Like you die or you can replace it, or there was some sort of like thing like that where you both need each other to survive.
What do they call it? A symbiotic relationship or something. I remember in school, like a billion years ago, learning about how there was like this one type of bird or something that chills on the rhino's back, and it like fends off the bugs or something that normally like bothers the rhino, and the bird gets food, and it's like a symbiotic relationship, even though it's kind of like not quite a parasite. But anyways, neither here nor there. They're happy about the queen. The queen is happy about them, but the queen is kind of kinky. It wants everyone to make babies. And so part of the reason that it mates pair, like, you know, certain couples together is because it thinks that they're really great to make babies together. And apparently Vectol and Georgie are great for that. They go on some adventures, and then eventually Georgie convinces Vectol to go back to the cargo bay. And the alien is like, oh my gosh, we have so many men in our group and we need women. We're so happy you're here. And then they're like, allow us to come rescue you. And so Georgie and Vectol, I think, leave again, get a bunch of hunters and, you know, the men folk. And then they come back to rescue the girls.
Yeah. Even the ones that are in the pods too, because she fails to tell him, oh, there's more than like four of us. There's like 12 of us or something. But apparently there's not a lot of women in this world. I think there was like four or five. It's like, yay, we're saved. We'll be able to continue our race on this ice planet.
Yeah, so the aliens are horny and happy about all of this. And I think their priority is making babies, because I think their population has been like dwindling over time. And we later learn that they are not native to this planet. They came here on a spaceship. I guess the spaceship crashed. They somehow found Kui. Very lucky, because you got to kill this big creature, pull like a worm out of its heart or brains or wherever it came from, and then shove it into you. I don't know how they learned that, because that would not have been my first go around. I've been like, ew, worms. I can't eat this meat. It is infected. But anyways, so they were not native to this planet. And those little caves were actually little pod things in the spaceship where they were chilling, which I thought was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I really like the scene where they go into the cave and he's like, it's the cave of, I don't know, light or whatever. And she realizes, Georgie realizes, oh, this is the inside of a spaceship. There's buttons and there's lights and let's turn it on. And that's how she learns to communicate with him, because there's this like download that can teach her his language very quickly. And so now they can talk to one another. And I appreciated that, because I was like, there is no way they're going to bring the girl with the earpiece everywhere with them so they can have conversation. So I thought that was very creative for Ruby to make that where they could communicate.
Yeah, that was a really good workaround, because like it was charming in the beginning where they're having the communication issues where neither could speak the other's language. But over time, you're like, can you just talk about things already? So that I thought was a nice workaround. And over the course of the series, I feel like everyone kind of is making their way to this ship to get the brain download so everyone can speak everyone else's language. There was a lot of things that the characters said that were, I don't know, jokes or like, you know, kind of, I want to say vernacular. Oh my God, Courtney, what is the word? Where it's like, it doesn't make literal sense. And thus the aliens didn't understand it, because it was like innuendos and whatever.
Help it's me not out. Cliches, is it?
No.
It's okay. I know what you're talking about. And I'm sure our listeners know exactly what you're talking about as well.
Excellent. Unless they like
slang.
Spoilers.
It was slang.
Oh, thank goodness.
I yeah, there we go.
The word. It is a very interesting Thursday. As we record it, they get everyone from the cargo bay. A bunch of other dudes start, their queue start rumbling and tumbling, and they're so excited to see these lady friends. And so one of them steals a girl away and they disappear. But I think for the most part, the rest of them are brought back to their village, mostly by piggyback, because these blue men are tall, they're huge, they got a tail, they got this spur thing, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, eventually, and they got horns on their head and stuff. But, you know, they walk on two legs, and apparently they got a penis, so there's that.
Yeah, they can still do it. It's funny because during that scene, Georgie's like, whose quay is going off? Because she's like, you have to give them a choice. You can't just be like, I'm breeding you. You know, so it's like she hears someone purr and she like turns around. I just imagine that scene like so vividly. I was like, yeah, she's like, no queen.
That's the word I couldn't think of earlier. I'm calling it an impregnation kink. It's a breeding kink. Oh my gosh. Oh, hopefully our readers understood what I meant, or listeners. Okay, so another thing in the sex scenes. So we talked about the third nipple. All the alien men are calling the clit the third nipple. There's the thing called a spur, which I don't understand the, you know, anatomical purpose for this thing. But above the penis, there's like this thing that sticks out that kind of like, I guess it's going into the girls' asses when they're fucking, and everyone's going nuts over it. That kept being such a thing that they kept talking about was the spur.
Yeah, she was very creative with the dick.
They sounded long and scary, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, when she first saw his, she was like, oh God, like, is that going to fit in me? And then, of course, it does. But I'm like,
magically.
Girl. The way that she described him, wasn't he like over like 7 foot tall or something?
Yeah.
I'm just imagining like this giant blue dude with this giant dick. And I'm like, oh my God, like, how is this going to work? How is this going to work? They made it work. Trust me. They made it work.
And once everyone started getting pregnant, I can't reference this other book because it'd be spoilers. But like once everyone started getting pregnant, I was thinking the human girls would probably die off because like if these babies are growing horns or something in their stomach, depending on how all that worked out, wouldn't it rip them apart on the exit? You know what I'm saying?
But the quee heals you. The quee heals. Doesn't it heal you in a way? Because remember, there's this medicine woman.
Yes.
Or she's a healer.
The healer.
And she like there's a point where he brings Georgie back and he's like, heal her. Like her wrist is broken. She's in really bad shape, whatever. And she's like, I can't. She doesn't have a quee. You know, I can't help her. She just has to use old fashioned medicine.
I think it heals them to an extent, but like if your injuries are too far gone, then I guess too bad, so sad for you. I think after they went to the village, after that, they took some of the ladies to go get a quee to kill this animal, to bring it down, to get these magical worms to put inside the ladies' necks. And then Georgie started purring right away. So she was then mated to Vectal. So that was sweet. I was like, yes.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. And Georgie was very specific about these ladies having the choice to take the quee or not. And without it, they die because you can't survive on this planet without it. So they all took it.
And I think there was a point where all of them, like the women, were considering, do we want to try to get back to Earth? Do we want to risk the other aliens, see if we could take over their ship? I just want to be like, bitches, who fly in it? Like, okay, let's pretend you do take over the ship. Do you know how to fly a spaceship? Because I sure don't. And so most, for the most part, although they're not happy about it, they did decide to remain on that planet that everyone took the quee. And I think, and I had written down there was five. There's only five female aliens, all are mated. So this, you know, group of human women coming in were very welcome. I had thought by the description at the end, I'm curious if you got this too, that the alien dudes came back, sucked up their cargo bay, and peaced out. Was that what you got as well from the end?
Yeah, I thought that they returned and they were like, we don't really want this anymore. And they kind of like took off. I was like, you're kind of stuck on this ice planet now. Because they didn't even fight. They just kind of like returned and I was like, eh.
Uh-huh. I don't want to give spoilers for future books, but I found that very interesting because I thought there was going to be a face-off at the end, but there wasn't. Like, it kind of ended with like all the women kind of assimilating to this new group of people and a lot of alien fucking and worm wriggling into necks.
And raw meat eating.
Ugh, this slut. I guess, okay, so one of the weird side effects of the quee, and I don't understand why this was a decision of the author, and like, cool, it doesn't really matter, but apparently once you get the quee, your taste buds are kind of like, you can't taste nearly as much. It's kind of like the senses are dulled. And so like these alien men are eating like this spicy food, but it's not really spicy to them. But to the human women, they're like, it burns. And so then once they have the quee, they can tolerate it better. So I thought that was really interesting.
I don't think I even picked up on that, like that the quee was the reason why they had differences in taste. I thought maybe it was just like their alien race could take in different types of foods.
It's possible, or it's possible I've read too many books, and I'm mushing them together in my brain. I liked Georgie, and I liked the other girls. I really enjoyed Vecdal's character. He's the leader of the village. Probably should have mentioned that. Kind of like the chief.
He's just one of those cinnamon roll heroes that's like, he wants the best for Georgie. He wants her to have the blankets. He wants her to eat food. He wants her to take bath in this river, and he's got a hard on, and he's like, you know what? No, we're not going to do this. We're just going to bathe you because you stink and you've got blood all over you and you're disgusting. And so, you know, he's just a very like protective, like she is his everything right from the very beginning. And he stayed true to that throughout the entire book.
I guess that's a good thing to point out, too, as far as tropes go. He was just a sunshine from the beginning. There was no grumpy sunshine. He was sunshine. She was kind of nice, too. Like, she wasn't, like, prickly or anything like that. She was nice. She was firm. She had her boundaries. Like, she wanted everyone to be happy and to be safe and everyone to consent. So I thought she was a really nice character as well. I thought both had very distinct voices. I had a good time.
Yeah, me too. She's very quirky. She says stuff like, oh, well, I'll have sex with him if he brings me to the mountain, or, oh, I'm going to have to give him a hand job for that. You know, there's a bunch of like little things like that. And I was laughing.
Yeah. So he didn't realize that she came from like this cargo bay thing. And there were other women waiting at the top of this mountain. And it was far distant from where his cave was. And so she had to bribe him with sex because they hadn't had sex yet and consummated their mating bond. And so she had to bribe him with sex to go up the mountain. He was like, sure. I go up the mountain for you if you fuck me. No problem.
I don't, and like when I was listening, like I don't think he really understood it because he didn't care. He just wanted the best for her. And she's like, I'm gonna have sex with him, so he'll bring me up there. And he's just like, I'll do whatever you want, Georgie. I don't need that. I don't, whatever. It was good. I like the dynamic between the two characters a lot.
So I do understand like the fuss over the book now that I've read it. Like it's really like, it's weirdly wholesome for a very kinky sci-fi romance. Which is probably how people got into it, because there's very human elements about the experience, even though they're two different races, species. I don't know what the right word is.
I think that's a good description. It's a feel-good alien romance with really spicy scenes and third nipples and huge penises. So if that's up your alley and you are not trying to like become smart and just need like a little palate cleanser, I would say that this is one to listen to. I did go and look at the reviews on Goodreads, and they're not fantastic, but Goodreads sometimes can be the devil. So, but one of the reviews was, I have to read it because I laughed so hard. It said, yeah, I gave this 4 stars. I don't want to talk about it because it's so spicy. It is so spicy. And a lot of the younger generation, I'm basically like a grandma at this point, but a lot of the younger generation are not into like the super, super spicy stuff, or, you know, they don't want covers that have like sexual, you know, imagery on the front. That's why you've got this cartoon cover in Barnes. And so I'm sure a lot of people picked up this book thinking, oh, this is going to be a cute little alien romance. And it gets pretty hot. So
I'm nervous for the day when my kid's old enough to start asking for, you know, more mature books than what, you know, than the cute little chapter books that we've been like, you know, doing so far. And I'm going to be like, is this actually a kid's book? What is in this? Jay Kristoff. So he's the author of Nevernight, one of my favorite books. He posted a little Instagram thing the other day where it was like a review of a mom who was really mad that their kid read his book. And it was like, you made my kid cry or something like that. And I was sitting there cracking up because I'm like, his books are not meant for children. Why was it in the YA section to begin with? Okay, shall we move on to the review portion of our episode, how we rate the book?
Sure.
Okay, let's do it. Courtney, do you want to start off?
I would say that it's a 4-star read. It's not one of those books where I'm like, oh my God, I need to finish the second one, or I need to start the third one, or I need to start the fourth one, or whatever. It's a fine read. I probably will listen to the other ones just because, you know, it's a great book to be like, I need to clean my house and laugh a little and smile and not feel down in the dumps. But yeah, I would say that it was a 4-star. I enjoyed it. I had a good time. If someone said, hey, do you have a sci-fi romance that I should read? I'd be like, start with Ice Planet Barbarians. I think it's a great entry point for that genre with not a lot of technobabble. You know, like in Star Trek, you've got the techno babble where it's like, oh, we've got to do this and warp speed and blah, blah, blah. There's not a whole lot of that. So it's really easy to follow along and understand the world and the characters. And I thought it was good.
Yeah. So my rating system for our listeners is not for me. I liked it. I would recommend it. I'm obsessed with it. And I would say I'm probably in the I would recommend it, like I had a good time and I would recommend it to a very specific type of reader. Not that you wouldn't, Courtney, but I want to specify that there's only certain people that I would share this recommendation with. I thought it was a lot of fun. As I mentioned before, I'm currently listening to one of the Sarah J. Maas books that are really bloody long and ripping my heart apart, A House of Flame and Shadow, because I'm terrible at remembering titles. Which is why I was looking down, but it's excellent, but I'm going to probably jump back to the next Ice Planet Barbarian book after this to like try and make me feel good again, because I'm like, my heart, I need healing time. So I agree that it's like a feel good sort of like romance thus far, minus the trigger warnings. That ain't feel good.
Yep, I agree.
Well, thank you everyone for tuning in to this episode of Spread Those Pages podcast, where we talked about a very kinky sci-fi.
We'll see you on the next one.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Thanks so much for joining us today, romance lovers. Don't forget that you are the main character of your story.
So go out there and spread some pages, live your happily ever after, and keep it spicy.
See y'all next time.